We here?
Yeah.
All right. Shalom, everybody. I hope all the Hebrew class, the students are logging in and ready to go. You're probably here because we're maybe about 5 minutes late, but we are ready to go. I hope you are. Pastor Ben could let me know if who's logging in. Can you see that, Pastor Ben? When people begin to log in? We are live, and we're going to start. All right, because we're going to start off today not with the Lord's Prayer. We're going to start off with the Shema Prayer. You guys have written the Lord's Prayer. I want you to learn the Lord's Prayer. I would love for you to love the Shema Prayer, to learn the Shema Prayer. But the Shema Prayer is a little bit longer, and but just as important is the Shema Prayer, because it has the great command in it, and that is that you love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your mind, all your strength. Okay? So are we ready to go, Pastor Ben? Okay, so let's begin this off. I want to teach you a little song that we used to sing in Rishon Messianic Bible College. I was going to bring a copy of the associate degree with me so that you can see what we're headed toward, because this is a 2-year associate degree program, and with all of the students that are registered now, it looks like we will be able to get accredited. And I wanted to bring that certificate. Not that I believe that we'd be here long enough for to get your certificate, but you know, I just wanted you to see what the goal is, because this is a 2-year Hebrew class, and at the end of that 2 years, we expect for you to be able to give a presentation in Hebrew on your own, rather it's in language or in a study, that you'd be able to do that. Okay, so I'm going to sing a little song. I'm not the greatest singer, but I can get a little bit. Okay, so the song is basically the very beginning of the scripture, and it says, "Hear Israel, the Lord thy God is one." But here it is in Hebrew: "Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad." You get that? Shema Israel. So this is what we would do. We would come in, and everyone would have their seats in class, and they would be live right here, and we would begin to sing, "Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad." One more time. "Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad." Now we would do that, and we would sing that, and then right after we would read, or we would say the Shema Prayer. So here it is, the Shema Prayer. "Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Vehivata et Adonai Elocha, Bekov levavaka, uvko nefishka, uvko mehodecha. Vehayu hadevarim haeli asher anochi mitzvacha hayom al levavaka. Veshanatam lavenecha, vederbarta bam beshivteka, beveteka, uvleteka, vederek, ushachbeka, ukumeka, ushatam laot al yadecha, vehayu le tutafot baina inecha, uftaftam al mizuzot beteka, uvijareka." So that is the Shema Prayer. And what it says is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. Then you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Let these words that I command to you today be upon your heart. Repeat them to your children. Speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk on the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. Bind them as a sign upon your arm and let them be as a frontlet between your eyes. Write them on the doorpost of your house and upon your gates. And this is the prayer that God gave to the Israelites and the command to hear. Now, the word smai, hear, O Israel, if you look up and say, how do you say obey in Hebrew? And you will find the same word, smai, hear. Okay, so God says hear, but the word has a double meaning in Hebrew. It means to hear and obey at the same time. So he's saying hear and obey, Israel. Okay, so smai is the same word for listen or to hear, and it's the same word for obey. Now, what does the word ahad mean? You say it means one, but now there is a word in Hebrew for a singular one, but ahad is not it. Ahad means a group of one, as if you have a unity of one, okay? So ahad means a group of one. So even in the Shema prayer, God is declaring himself to be a group of one and not just a singularity of one, okay? So we'll look into that word more in depth so that you can see what a singularity of one is and what a group of one is, because Elohim is not one God. Elohim, the I am on Elohim, means gods. If you read it properly in Hebrew, it's a plural word, okay? But it is written in a singular fashion, meaning that Elohim is one God, okay? So that's a Hebrew lesson for today. And we are moving on into our scripture. I'm loving the homework that you guys are turning in. I got some more the Lord's prayers, and those are awesome. Thank you guys also for being involved in this class. This is a part of me and Pastor Ben had this great thing. We were going to go back to school, and we were going to join our wives in getting our degrees in theology. Yep. Well, the Lord had other plans. But since we were going to go back, I began to write my thesis because I wanted to get my PhD and my master's. I wanted to already have my thesis done. Well, the thesis is what would have turned out to be a book, and it's called Who Cares About the Author? Was the title of my thesis was Who Cares About the Author, and the subtitle was Christians' Total Disregard for the Language, Culture, and Traditions of the God They Serve. And what it says is that we don't want to study Hebrew because, you know, studying takes effort. But when you do it, you're learning about the culture, the language of the God that you serve, because he has a culture and a language. Think if you were Spanish and you married a guy who wasn't Spanish and he said, I have no interest in Spanish culture or the language or the food or anything. I'm just interested in knowing you. You know, that would hurt your heart because your culture and your language would be a part of your day-to-day living, okay? So this is why I think it's important to learn his culture. It shows that we want to get to know him on a deeper level. And that's my commercial for learning Hebrew, because I want to know the person I'm in love with, okay? In an intimate way. Okay, so now, today is a study day of scripture, because what we're learning right now is the eight feast days, and we could say seven feast days because you would be correct, because Tabernacles is the last of the feast days, but Tabernacle ends with a day called Shemini Atzeret, which is the eighth day, so I call it eight-day feast. Now, the feast that we learned last time was Yom Kippur, and Yom Kippur happens when? On the first day of Tishri. Rosh Hashanah means the head. Rosh means head. Hashanah means year, okay? So, Rosh Hashanah means the head of the year. So, on the first day of the month of Tishri is called the head of the year, okay? Now, So Rosh Hashanah is Tishri first, it's Rosh Hashanah. Now, after Tishri first, which is Rosh Hashanah, is known as the Day of Judgment. I want you guys to understand that. Because on Rosh Hashanah is the day that judgment happens, okay? And the righteous are taken up, okay? And they sing this song that says that the Lord has come down and he has risen, that the Lord, I think it's Psalms 147, that the Lord has risen with a trumpet on Rosh Hashanah, because this is the day that the righteous are taken. Now, so what's the deal with Yom Kippur? Well, now you have 10 days after Rosh Hashanah to really get it together, because the next time on the 10th on Yom Kippur is when God is going to come and he's going to, judgment is going to happen at that time. But God has called it Yom Kippur. It's the day of the covering of your sins, the atonement of your sin. The word Yom Kippur means the day of covering. That God is going, the day he's going to cover your sins. A guy named Mark Belts he says, he puts it in the term of that it's like a credit card being paid. Like you pay for something with a credit card and really nobody's received any money yet. So now someone has to later come and cover that bill, because you walked out of the store with all of those goods and you used your credit card, which says that somebody's good for the money, okay? So Yom Kippur is a covering of your sins, okay, until the bill can actually be paid. So Christ is the one who is fulfilling Yom Kippur, because he is the one that is going to come and cover the payment that is needed to be paid for your sins, okay? So I want you to understand where Yom Kippur comes from, though, okay? And to understand that, we have to look at the month of Elul. What is the month of Elul? Month of Elul is the sixth month of the year, and it is 30 days, and it comes right before Rosh Hashanah, the first of Tishri. I want you to understand that now, okay? Now, so you go, the first of Elul is 30 days. Then you have Rosh Hashanah, which is the day of judgment. 10 days later, you have Yom Kippur. Total of what? 40 days. Now, ask yourself, in the Jewish culture, they fast every year for 40 days. Did you know that? They fast from the first of Elul to the 10th of Tishri. Okay? So remember when Jesus Christ said, hey, they said, and Jesus went into the desert and he fasted for 40 days. What they don't tell you in the New Testament is that the whole community of Israel was fasting for 40 days, because it was the 40 days from the first of Elul to the 10th of Tishri. Okay? So this is a 40-day fast that happens every year. And in this fast, they are fasting because something happened for those 40 days. Thank you, Pastor Ben. Something happened for those 40 days. Something incredible happened. My job is to let you know what happened in those 40 days, that it became a 40-day fast and the day of judgment at 30 days and the covering and the day of atonement at the 40th day. What happened, okay? For you to know that, you would have to go to your Bible and begin reading in the book of Exodus chapter 32. So that's what I want you guys to do. I'm going to try to make this as simple as possible, and I believe that our Lord and Savior Yeshua and his Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit inside me, has given me the ability to make this simple to you, because you need to know what these 40 days of Yom Kippur are all about, okay? Now, in the book of Exodus chapter 32, Here we go. It says, when the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses, who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him. Aaron answered them, take off your gold earrings. He says that your wives and your sons and your daughters are wearing, and bring them to me. So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. And he took what they handed him and made it into an idol and cast it into the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool, then said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you out of Egypt. Now, if you're God and you're the one that brought them out of Egypt, you're quite upset now. Okay, so now they made a calf. I want you guys to understand why they made a calf, okay? When a king died in Egypt, they would form a golden calf, okay? And it was part of the ceremony that a king had died. So in their mind, they were saying, we have lost our leader, so let's do what we've learned for the last 400 years in Egypt. Let's resort back to the pagan ways and create a golden calf because we've lost our leader, okay? So it wasn't just something he thought of to do. He did what he had been, that the people of the Hebrew people had been taught for 400 people in Egypt. But God was pulling them out of Egypt, and he had already destroyed their 10 gods in plagues, and he did not want them to return to the ways of the Egyptians, because the ways of the Egyptians was pagan worship. Okay? So now he's done this. Now, I want you to always look at typology, okay? Because when you look at the typology of this, this is Jesus coming down to the people and finding them in sin, okay? Moses comes down to the people and he finds them in sin, because now they're worshiping an idol. Let's continue to read this, because this is awesome, okay? Now, we're in verse 5, 32 verse 5. It says, when Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, today and tomorrow will be festivals to the Lord. So the next day, the people rose early and sacrificed burnt offerings and presented fellowship offerings. Afterward, they sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. Okay? So they are having a party, and they're drinking and eating and having a party over this golden calf. Then the Lord said to Moses, go down, because your people, Pastor Ben loves that, because he doesn't say my people anymore, because they're not mine anymore, Moses, because your people, whom you brought out of Egypt, have become corrupt. They have been quick to turn away from what I commanded them, and have made themselves an idol and cast it into the shape of a calf. They have bowed down and sacrificed to it, and have said, these are the gods, O Israel, who brought you out of Egypt. He said, I have seen these people, the Lord said to Moses, and he says, they are stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone, so that my anger may burn against them and that I may destroy them. Then I will make you into a great nation. Now listen, God's ready to get rid of all of them. He says, I'm only dealing with you from now on. But remember what Jesus did. Listen, what it says, but Moses sought favor of the Lord. Oh Lord, he said, why should you anger against your people? Now, God, you make them know they're your people. whom you brought out of Egypt with a great power and a mighty hand. Why should the Egyptians say it was with evil intent that you brought them out to kill them, and to this mountain, and to wipe them off the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce anger, relent, and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember your servant Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, which is Jacob, okay, to whom you swore by your own name, okay, by your own self, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars. And in the sky, I will give you, your descendants, all these lands I promised them, and it will be an inheritance forever. The Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened. Now, Moses turned and went down the mountain with the two tablets of testimony in his hand. They were inscribed on both sides, front and back. The tablets were the work of God, and the writings, the writing of God, engraved in the tablets. And it says, then Joshua heard the noise of the people shouting and said to Moses, there is a sound of war in the camp. And Moses replied, it is not the sound of victory. It is not the sound of defeat. It is the sound of singing, and that I hear. I'm trying to get to the part where Moses says to God, well, if you're not going to forgive them, he says, then blot my name out of the book of life. So Moses puts himself, here it is, let's go to chapter 32, let's go to verse 33. I want you guys to know this, because this is what happens, okay? In verse 33, let's start reading verse 31. It says, so when Moses went back to the Lord and said, oh, what a great sin these people have committed. They have made themselves gods of gold. But now, please, forgive their sin. But if not, then blot me out of the book you have written. The Lord replied to Moses, whoever have sinned against me, I will blot out. But listen what Moses does. Moses puts himself as an atonement between him and the people. He says, I'll take the blame for what they've done. Blot me out. Okay. Now, you don't understand, but this is what Jesus did, because Jesus says, I'm going to take on their sins. Okay. Let their sins rest upon me, okay? Because remember, Moses is a typology of a coming Christ. He is the typology of Jesus Christ, okay? There's so much to be done in the study of Moses, but we do that in the second semester of this class. But I want you to understand that Moses is a typology of the coming of Jesus Christ. Okay, now, so in verse 33... in chapter 33, let's read now what's going to happen, okay? It says in verse 33, the first verse, it says, then the Lord said to Moses, leave this place, you and the people you brought out of Egypt, and go up to the land I promised an oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. He says, I will send an angel before you and drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Go up to the land following, it says, flowing with milk and honey. Okay? So now let me get to this part here. Because now you have to understand, Moses has to go back up to, because what did he do with the tablets? He threw the tablets down on the ground and broke them. Basically, they had already said that they would obey. But here it is, Moses goes up and And they think he's gone. So now he comes down and they're in sin. When Jesus came down, they were in sin. Jesus had to go back up to heaven. And he had to stay there like Moses, because Moses has gone back up for 40 days. Jesus is going back for 40 Jubilees, which we just finished, or we're finishing the last Jubilee, because speaking of the Jubilee happening during the Feast of Tabernacle, during the Feast of Yom Kippur at that time, well, we're in the Jubilee year. We'll do that study some other time. But the feast, the year of Jubilee, when it continues, now, Moses goes back up to the mountain for 40 days, the same as Jesus for 40 Jubilees, okay? And when he comes back down from that mountain, Jesus, when he comes back down from that mountain, we're going to see what's happening, because remember, when he goes up on the mountain, let's go over to the board real fast, Pastor Ben. When he goes up on the mountain, it's the first of Elul. He stays up there for that 30, for that whole month. Then he stays there for 10 more days. Moses comes down from the mountain and he's made atonement for the sins of the people of Israel. He comes down from the mountain on the 10th of Tishri on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, because it is the day that their sins are atoned for. But when he comes back, what are the people going to think? Because they know they sinned. They don't know that he's atoned for their sins, right? When Jesus comes back, he's coming back on Yom Kippur. Why? Because God is showing you the typology of how he's going to do things, okay? For these 40 days, after Rosh Hashanah, 10 days more, Yom Kippur, you got 40 days here, which is going to complete the whole cycle. And here is the day that Moses is going to come back down from the mountain. Okay, now let's check this out. Okay. Here we are. Let's see. Okay. So it says here let's go in chapter 34. Let's go in chapter 34 at the top.
Exodus 34.
Yeah, Exodus chapter 34 at the top. And it says, "The Lord said to Moses, chisel out two stones of stone tablets like the first ones, and I will write on them the words that were on the first tablet, which you broke." I like God. He says, "Be ready in the morning, and then come up on the mountain of Mount Sinai, and present yourself to be there on the top of the mountain. No one is to come with you or be seen anywhere on the mountain, not even the flocks or the herd, and the herd may gaze upon the front of the mountain." So Moses chiseled out two stones of tablets and went up to Mount Sinai early in the morning, as the Lord had commanded him, and he carried the two stone tablets. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood with him and proclaimed his name. His name, Yahweh, Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey. He proclaimed his name to Moses. And he passed in front of him, proclaiming, "The Lord, Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey, the Lord, Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey, is what? Compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love, faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness and rebellion and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and the children of sin and the fathers up to the third and fourth generation."
So now Moses writes down these new tablets, and he's up on the mountain, and he's up there for 40 days atoning for the sins of the golden calf. Okay? Now, let's read chapter 34, verse 29, and then we're going to get to the book, because there's more I want you to understand about Yom Kippur. Okay? We're going to be in Exodus 34, and we're going to be in verse 29. Okay? So now Moses has written down the new tablets. He's got the new Ten Commandments on the tablets. And he's going to come back down again to the people. Okay? Because now this is what? The second coming of Moses. Okay? It says, when Moses came down from the Mount Sinai with the two tablets of testimony in his hand, he was not aware that his face was radiant. So Moses comes down and his face is glowing like a light bulb. Okay? And it says, because he had spoken to the Lord. And when Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, and his face was radiant, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, so Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him. Now, if they had to come back, what does that mean? They ran. They were in fear. They saw him come down from the mountain and his face is glowing. And they know they've sinned. They're like, we're not standing around for this judgment. They take off. Moses calls them back. Come back to him. Okay. And he speaks to them. After all the Israelites came near him, he gave them all the commands of the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. When he finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever he entered the presence of the Lord to speak to him, he removed the veil until it came out. And when he came out, he told the Israelites what he had been commanded, and they saw that his face was radiant. Then Moses would put the veil on. So now, listen to this. Moses comes down the second time, and the people are afraid of him, and they take off running, and Moses tells them, hey, come back to me. And he lets them know what? What did he go up on the mountain for? To atone for their sins. He wants them to know that God is not going to destroy you. I've gone back up to the mountain. I've atoned for your sins. And now I want you to know that you have been forgiven, and I've brought a new tablet of covenant for you. Okay? And now he brings a new tablet, and now this is the second covenant of tablets that they've received. So the Israelites received the first tablets, which was broken, okay, which was the law. Now you have a picture of Jesus Christ coming down the second time with a new tablet and atonement for their sins and ready to start a brand new relationship. Now, that would not be all. That would is not the end of the story, because now when he comes down from the mountain, if you read in 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, and chapter 40, guess what Moses starts doing? Building the tabernacle. So when Jesus returns and he forgives Israel, then he begins to build the temple, because the scripture says that the God, Jesus Christ, is going to be the one who's going to come and atone for the sins of Israel, and he is the one who is going to build the tabernacle. And when he finishes building that tabernacle, in Ezekiel chapter, 44, he tells Ezekiel, look inside of the tabernacle, and he says, that is where I'm going to rule from. That is where I'm going to place my feet on earth, and I'm going to rule out of this temple, because he's going to rule out of the temple. So let's relook at this situation that we've seen. Moses comes down the first time the people are in sin. It's the first of Elul. He goes back up to the mountain for 40 more days, like 40 jubilees, and he comes back down once again with a new covenant, and he builds the tabernacle, like Jesus is going to come back a second time with a new covenant and build the tabernacle, okay? So, when is Jesus coming back for the second time? When is he coming back? He's going to come back on Yom Kippur. When did Moses come back from the mountain after the 40 days? On the 10th of Tishri, he came down on the day of Yom Kippur. So on Yom Kippur, it is set in stone that God has chosen a day that he's going to judge the world. When is God going to judge the world? On Yom Kippur, at the end of the 7 years of tribulation. Okay. Now, this is a beautiful thing because now you know what comes before Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets. Okay? So we know that 10 days before Jesus returns to the earth, there will be a Rosh Hashanah service. Is it important that you have it on earth, or is it important that you have it in heaven? Because they are God's feast days. So on Rosh Hashanah, at the end of the tribulation, they're going to blow the last trump. And that last trump will say judgment has happened. They will take up the righteous. 10 days later, Jesus Christ will come back down to the earth and judge, and the Jews, the Hebrews, will be afraid. Why? Because everyone will cry and everyone will see him, even those who pierced him, the nation of Israel. And they will be afraid, but they don't realize your sins have been covered. Your sins have been covered. Therefore, he's coming back not to judge the Hebrew people. He's coming back to let you know that you've been atoned for and to build you a temple and to give you a new covenant and a new relationship. Isn't Yom Kippur a beautiful time? This is why Yom Kippur is the most holy day of the Jewish scriptures. Now, I want to be able to show you something. So I have to go into our workbook. You have your workbook with you? Now, okay, how you say book in Hebrew? Sefer. How you say book? Seferim. Okay? How you say school? Bat Sefer. Bat Sefer. Okay, so we're in Bat Sefer right now, and we are in our book, and here we are. I want us to begin this absolute beautiful study that I want you to understand today on page 30 of your book, okay? So if you've got page 30, 29 is where you see this guy blowing the trumpet. Then I want you to turn over to page 30, one page after that, where we will begin our study at the top, and it says, then we find. Now, here is in John 1:29, it says, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Because what is Jesus going to do? He's going to now atone for our sins. Jesus is the atonement for not only for our sins, but for the whole world. So Jesus is coming as the Lamb to be the yoke, the Kippur. He's becoming to be the covering. He's coming to pay the bill that earlier was paid for with a credit card. He's coming to now pay the bill, okay? So he comes down. Now, Hebrews 10, 14. 10 chapter verse 4 says, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins." So if the blood of bulls and goats did not take away their sins, that means what did they do? They were covered. Okay? Because see, look, a credit card can't pay for your new clothes. A credit card can't pay for your new clothes. Somebody has to later come and actually pay real money. Okay? So Jesus is coming now to make the covering for your bill, okay? And so that we'll have no debt, okay? Because we don't want debt, okay? So it says here, let's go to Peter 3:13 in our book on page 30. It says, "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." It says, okay, now, let's compare Yom Kippur service as we find in Leviticus in the book of Revelation, okay? Now listen, this is so important. Well, I want you to understand. When you begin to read Leviticus chapter 23, God says, these are my feast days, okay? In the book of Jubilee, it says, we celebrated, the angel said, he said, we celebrated Shabbat in heaven long before you gave it to the Jews. You understand? So God declared that the Sabbath would be for the Hebrews. Okay? So I know a lot of people, once you come into Hebrew study, you go, okay, I got to get back to the law and start worshiping on the Shabbat and all this. But if you understand, the Shabbat was given to the Jewish people, given to the Hebrews to separate them from the rest of the world. Okay? It was a way of God keeping them separated. So, anyway, let's get to this study. It says, let us compare Yom Kippur service as we find in Leviticus with the book of Revelation and see if we can find any comparisons. We will prophetically see what is awesome. It says, the holiest day of the year is all about, okay? Now, I want you to understand Leviticus chapter 16, verse 3 to verse 6, and it reads like this. Thus, Aaron came into the holy place with a bullock for the sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have a linen breech upon his flesh, and shall be girded with linen girdles, and with a linen mirt shall be his attire. And it says, these are the holy garments. Therefore shall he wash his flesh in water and put them on, and he shall take the congregation of the children of Israel, two kids of a goat, for a sin offering. Okay? Now remember, when Jesus was about to be crucified, they offered them two goats. Okay? Okay? Now, and it says, and two kids of goat for a sin offering, and one ram for a burnt offering. And Aaron offered the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself for the house. So you get these two goats, and they come forth, and they say what? We can release one of these people to you today, okay? Because remember, with these two goats, one is going to be offered, the other is going to be released, okay? So they give them this to commemorate Yom Kippur and what's going on here. They come forth and fulfill prophecy, making sure that one goat is being sacrificed and the other goat is being released, okay? So now we get to where it says we see here in verse 33, and he shall make atonement for the holy sanctuary, and he shall make atonement for the tabernacle and the congregation and the altar, and make atonement for the priests and for all the people. Okay, let me get here. And so this great slaughter goes on. It says, let us pray before and lifting up our hands. Let's go over to the next page. page 31. Now, in Leviticus 16, verse 12 through 15, this is how you have your Yom Kippur service, okay? It says, "And he shall take censers full of burning coal of fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hand full of sweet incense, beaten small," it says, "bring it within the veil." So they go behind the curtain with the incense. "He shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he may not die. And he shall take," okay, "of the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat." So I don't want to read that whole thing, but now we're seeing something. A tradition and a cultural thing is they're taking this incense, okay? They're going behind the veil. They're putting all of the incense on the fire to do what? To create a smoke that's going to cover the mercy seat. Because why? God, inside of the Holy Holies, the Holy of Holies, is present. His presence is on the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies. So if you just walk in there and there's no covering of this smoke, because two people did it, they walked in, okay, and they didn't follow procedure, and they both fell dead. Why? Because you're not going to walk into the presence of God without keeping the... So we want you to do this smoke so that it'll cover the presence of God when you walk behind the veil, and then you won't be able to see him face to face and then die on the spot, okay? So he gives them this commandment. This is what I want you to do. Make sure you do this. Take the incense, put them on the fire, make the smoke so that everyone won't be able to see God in his full glory and then die. Okay? This is, so they do this. Now, Revelation chapter 8, verse 3 through 6. It is, Revelation chapter 8 is talking about the end of the tribulation. Listen what the angel does in heaven. It says, "And an angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer," okay? "And there was given him much incense, that he should offer it as with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense came with the prayers of the saints and ascended before God out of the angel's hands. And the angel took the censer filled with fire from the altar and cast it to the earth. And there were voices and thundering and lightning and earthquakes. And the seven angels, which had seven trumpets, prepared themselves to blow." Because now what's about to happen? Here in Revelation, we see a divine appointment happening. And it is the Yom Kippur service. The angels are in heaven celebrating Yom Kippur. They take the incense and they put them on the altar in order to create the fire. Why? Because somebody's about to come on that cloud back to earth, because Yom Kippur is the day that Moses came down, and Yom Kippur is the day that Jesus is going to come down. Are you understanding this? Okay. This is part of the reason why I don't believe in this Rosh Hashanah rapture, unless God decides, because he's sovereign, that he's going to rapture both the church and Israel on Rosh Hashanah. But we do know that the tribulation saints and Israel are going to be taken up into heaven, are going to be raptured 10 days before Yom Kippur, and then judgment is going to happen at the end, okay? All right, we got 10 minutes, so we got time. Now, in Revelation chapter 6, verse through 9, it says, "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried out in a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood upon them that are on the face of the earth?" And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said to them that they should rest for a little while longer until the fellow servants and their brothers should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. Now listen to what I just read here. They're given white garments. Now, I don't know if you have time, and I don't know if we're going to be here, but if you try to go to a Yom Kippur service at an Orthodox synagogue, now most of them cost quite a bit of money because, you know, I don't know why they would charge people to go to a religious service, but it costs a lot of money to go to a Yom Kippur service. But they told me if you want to come, Sandy, you have to wear white. Because the tradition of Yom Kippur is that everybody has to wear white. What I would like for you to do is to, if you can go and look at the picture of the Western Wall on the day of Yom Kippur, everybody comes in white. Here we are talking about something that's in heaven, and everybody's been given a white garment. Why? Because they know it's Yom Kippur. Somebody's about to return. You understand? They're lighting, they're filling the altar with incense, creating a smoke. Why? Because it's Yom Kippur and somebody's about to return on Yom Kippur. Why? He's going to fulfill the prophecy that Moses did long time ago by going up to the mountain for 40 days and then coming back on Yom Kippur to rescue the nation of Israel. Okay?
And on W1, what is Yom Kippur?
Yom Kippur is 10 days after Rosh Hashanah. Every year. Okay? Every year. It doesn't change. 10 days after Rosh Hashanah is Yom Kippur. So we know that there's going to be a Rosh Hashanah someday. And on that Rosh Hashanah will be the last trump. And those who are living in the tribulation that are still living righteous will be caught up in the air. And Christ will, with the sickle, he will gather them up. Okay, with the 144,000, and they will be in heaven. And then 10 days later, he'll come back and he will gather up those who are going to be judged, and he will smash them in the winepress of his wrath. Okay. And then at that time, that's when he'll be coming back, and that'll be the judgment, which will happen on Yom Kippur in the future. Okay. And so we know that there's going to be a Rosh Hashanah, the gathering of the righteous. There's going to be Yom Kippur, the judgment of the world, and the return of Jesus Christ to set up tabernacles. Okay, because he's going to begin to build the tabernacle. Okay, let me see here. Okay. If we can do this one more time. Okay. Let's do this in page 32. Let's do this one last time so that you can fully understand this. Oh, my goodness. Here you go. Cleansing and the transgressions. Da, 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 da. Okay, we're going to read where it says, compare this to Revelation. Oh, I have to read Leviticus 16:16. And it says this, and he shall make atonement for the holy place, because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because of the transgression of all the sins. And so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of uncleanness. And there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goes in to make an atonement in the holy place until he comes out and have made atonement for him and for his household and for all the congregation of Israel. So the one that has gone up is gone up, and he's gone up by himself, and he's gone up to make atonement. Revelation verse 15, verse 8, it says, and the temple was filled with the smoke. Revelation chapter 15, verse 8. Now listen, what happened in Revelation chapter 14? There was a rapture. And there was a rapture of the last harvest, which is the fruit harvest. Now, for all you people that say this, I'm just going to write this for you, just so you can ponder it. Okay, Israel is not the fruit harvest. The fruit harvest is the wheat harvest we're the barley harvest. Yeah. Okay, I hope you guys wrote this down because I'm going to erase it. Just right here, okay? Sorry, Pastor Ben. Now, why am I writing this? Okay, if you write the word Israel in Hebrew, it will have a numerical value of 541, right? Okay. If you write the fruit in Greek, because Greek always tells you what the true meaning of what is shown in the Old Testament. The word in Greek, the fruit, is 541. So God has already told you who the fruit is. The fruit is Israel. Okay? Because God says, I planted a vineyard. Okay? I came back to get fruit off of that vineyard, but there was none there. You understand? And so he says, what shall I do for my vineyard? What more could I have done for my vineyard? Because he's coming back for the grape harvest. He's coming back for the fruit harvest. You understand? So the fruit harvest is in what? In the fall. Yom Kippur, during the spring of tabernacles, okay? So we have a barley harvest that already left, which is the Old Testament saints. We have a wheat harvest that is about to leave, okay? And because we're coming toward the end of the wheat harvest. And now at the end of the tribulation, he's going to come back and he's going to gather up the fruit harvest. And then he'll tabernacle among us and we'll celebrate that the whole harvest of all the righteous people is now in the kingdom with their Savior, okay?
3 minutes.
Okay, now, I'm going to use these last 3 minutes of class to say this. I know you've written down the conversational words that we're going to use because I want you to form sentences, okay? Please write down all of those words, okay? Because later this week, before the next class, we're going to send you out a homework assignment. It will have all of the words that I have on there, and it will ask you to form as many sentences as you can, okay? By the words that I have already given you in class. You're going to take ane, you're going to take want, rotze, you're going to take, or you say ane, rotze, I'm going to have to give you some more words, but I'm going to include them into the next class. Ane, rotze, le, what do I, ane, rotze, I want to seal you. I want something to eat. Where is a good restaurant? Okay. So all of these words you already have. Yes lecha maspik kesef. Do you have enough money? I don't have enough money. Kamazeole, how much is that? You know, Efo Hasharotim, where's the restroom? Okay. What I'm doing is with all of these words, and I have a list of them, and I'll send you the whole chart of the words. I want you to be able to develop sentences with the words that I'm giving you. Then we're going to move on to the second level of learning Hebrew. Which will begin to teach you how to greet, how to shop, how to do other things. But first you have to learn these words because it tells you, you'll be able to say, where can I find? Please take me to. Where is a good restaurant? Where is the restroom? these major things. Can you help me? Okay, many things that you need as basic things that we use all day. And then we're going to start the second journey of learning conversational Hebrew. But the first thing is being able to form your sentences to say the everyday things that you need to say, okay? And I think that's about it for today. I think I did already give you how to say, to ask all questions, okay? So you got where, when, what, why, how, and why. But remember, when you want to ask in how much, it's kama, okay? Kamazeole, how much does that cost? Kamazman atarote nishierpo, how long do you want to stay here? Okay, so kama is for how much, okay? Whenever you're measuring the time or the money or something like that, you're measuring that, is kama, okay? So anyway, we're gonna learn the conversational Hebrew, and then I'm gonna show you something exciting, and we're gonna continue on from there to go into a higher level of conversational Hebrew. And that is it for class today. Can I pray out, Pastor Ben? Okay. I hope you guys learned from this. What I would really want you, because listen, you're going to be tested on this material, and I can't help you with the test. So I want you to be, you should have read Moses, the movie. I mean, Abraham, the movie, 888. You should have read Rosh Hashanah and Passover, because these are questions that will be on the test that is coming up. So I want you to make sure that you read the whole thing that I've written out in the book on the Yom Kippur service, so that you understand fully what Yom Kippur is all about, because it's a quite an incredible study. Okay, here we go. Let's pray out. And the Lord said to Moses, "When you bless my people, say unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'ir Adonai panavilecha v'echunecha. V'yaseh Adonai panavilecha v'yakim l'tai shalom." So, peace be unto you. And it says, Li'itriot. I'll see you next week. All right?
Pastor, one question before you call. Darcy Sims, We write the Hebrew words with English alphabets, not Hebrew letters. Is that correct?
We write what words with English alphabet?
The homework that you're signing.
Yes, write them with English, with English words, not Hebrew words. We haven't gotten to this proportion where we're going to start writing Hebrew sentences, but first writing these, learning these phrases first, and then we will move on to writing them in Hebrew. But I want you to learn the phrases first. I want you to be able to learn how to say, I want something to eat. I'm very hungry. I want you to be able to say these words first, and be able to write them in English so that you can pronounce them properly, and then we'll get to writing them at a later time, okay? Because I want you to learn the conversation.